Yakshodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Vishnupad Panamangsa Parivraja Kacharya Sutara Sutta Sri Srimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jaya Nitya Libha Vishnu Om Vishnupad Panamangsa Parivraja Kacharya Sutara Sutta Sri Srimad. Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura Goswami Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki. Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Gaur Premanandi. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, and Srila Prabhupada. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 24th chapter, text 27. Chapter titled Renunciation of Kardamba Muni. Aho papachamananang. Aho papachamananang. Nirayeshwara Mangalai. Nirayeshwara Mangalai. Kalina Buyasanunang. Kalina Buyasanunang. Prasidanti Hadevataha. Prasidanti Hadevataha. Please chant. Aho papachamananang. Nirayaswara mangalai. Kalina buyasanunang. Prasidanti hadevataha. Aho papachamananang. Nirayeshwara mangale. Kalina buyasanunang. Prasidanti hadevataha. Aho papachamananang. Nirayeshwara mangale. Kalina buyasanana. Prasidanti hadevata. Aho papachamanana. Nirayeshwara mangale. Kalina buyasanunang. Prasidanti adevataha. Aho papachamanana. Nireshvara Mangale. Kalena Buyasanu Nam. Prasidantiya Devataha. O Papachamananam. Nireshvara Mangale. Kalena Buyasanu Nam. Prasidantiya Devataha. Anyone else? Aho, O, Papachamananam. With those being much afflicted, Niraye, in the hellish material entanglement, Swai, their own, Amangalai, by misdeeds, Kalena Buyasa. After a long time, Nunam, indeed, Prasidanti, they are pleased, Iha, in this world, Devataha, the demigods. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Kardama Muni said, oh, after a long time, the demigods of this universe have become pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds. Please repeat. Kardama Muni said, oh, after a long time, the demigods of this universe have become pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. This material world is a place of for suffering, which is due to the misdeeds of the inhabitants, the conditioned souls themselves. The sufferings are not extraneously imposed upon them. Rather, the conditioned souls create their own suffering by their own acts. In the forest, fire takes place automatically. It is not that someone has to go there and set a fire because of friction among various trees. Fire occurs automatically. When there is too much heat from the forest fire of this material world, the demigods, including Brahma himself, being harassed, approach the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and appeal to him to alleviate the condition. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends. In other words, when the demigods become distressed by the sufferings of the conditioned souls, they approach the Lord to remedy the suffering, and the Personality of Godhead descends. When the Lord descends, all the demigods become enlivened. Therefore, Kardama Muni said, after many, many years of human suffering, all the demigods are now satisfied because Kapila Dev, the incarnation of Godhead, has appeared. Om Gyana Tamranta Shagranjana Shlakaya Chakshwarma Taminatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kroti Vachalam Pangu Muntai Kegaram Yit Kipatam Bande Shri Gurum Biratanam Srinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Ridyan Takstoya Badrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. Translation again. Kardama Muni said, oh, after a long time, the demigods of this universe have become pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds. It was a little... At first, reading the purport, it appeared that the demigods were pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds. So I was wondering, why are the demigods pleased with the suffering souls? I mean, are they? It's as if they were waiting for the incarnation to appear due to the burden, you know, yadayadahi dharmas yaglani bhavati bhata. But why the demigods are pleased? They're just the opposite. The Vaishnavas are not pleased, they're distressed. Prahlad Maharaj was praying that, you know, all these souls should go, I should stay. But the demigods seem to have a different frame of mind in this regard, which is interesting. Of course, it's all transcendental, it's all Leela. They know that Krishna is coming. They know that everyone is eternal. They have their eternal relationship with Krishna in one sense. But there's no guarantee. This is the, at least for me, the takeaway, that we can try to establish ourselves in some position as devotees. But at the same time, there's due to the past sinful reactions that the living entity has accumulated, you know, there is that nice verse, free from the contamination of previous material activities and sinful reaction. And yesham tvantagata papam jananam. So there is some burden on us to clear this these past sinful activities. And so therefore the process for us, of course, is to chant the holy name, which we've chanted many times this morning in honor of so many personalities. But this is the only remedy. This is our only solace. But unfortunately, even in this regard, sometimes we have no taste for it. I'm reminded that on the prasadam line in the morning, we chant the prayer, Mahaprasadam Govinde, and then we chant the Shatardabhi Jajal, and then we chant, you know, the Panchatattva Mahamantra. Now, meanwhile, the whole line is waiting there with their plates, and they're thinking, when is he going to be finished chanting? We want to take prasadam. So this is a special rasa that the devotees have, that where our only business is to chant the holy name. But at the same time, everyone has their, we have the Harinam program. They have to take prasadam by a certain time. They have to leave by a certain time. We have to get out there, get on the subway, and get to their spots. So we're not trying to extend the situation. But nevertheless, it's our tradition. So we follow through, and everybody patiently waits. So that's like, we were mentioning that Gopal Prabhu, who previously lived here, who was in Mayapur in the early days. So he originally came to Vrindavan, I remember when he came, and he was thinking, I'm coming because, you know, my body's not doing so well, and I'm expecting to leave. But it's been 10 years that he was there getting the mercy. So he took the opportunity to go in advance. And of course, being in Vrindavan, there's no substitute for the purification available. If one is serious about this process, and there's no shortage of austerity to perform in order to make sure that when that moment does arrive, that yam yam bhapi sabram bhavam tijatyante kaliyam, that one's mind is fixed. And he was worshiping Govardhan for so many years, which is traditional in Vrindavan. Everybody's worshiping Giriraj. And he is our Ishta Devata there. And this is my guide brother Kumarupa was also worshiping Giriraj faithfully. And that we would go regularly when we were doing care for cows prior to his passing. We would go regularly to do Govardhan Parikrama. And even when he was getting a little bit older, we would still jump on the scooter and go to certain places like Govindakund and sit there and chant just to get the mercy of Giriraj. So we hear Kardama Muni is interesting that how the conditioned souls were suffering to that extent. It's almost as if this is Bharad Varsha. And if you're in Bharad Varsha, there are so many holy places, unlimited. But yet, somehow or other, there's the example of these sinful activities being accumulated. And then, as a result, the demigods approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their own way and invoke the auspicious incarnation, in this case, Kapila Dev. But these things, unfortunately, are not something that we see on a regular basis. You know, in this Kalaya Dosha Nidhi Rajanasti Eka Mahagunat Kirtanare Vakrishnasya. So we're satisfied. Prabhupada said, Golokara Premadana Harinam Sankirtan, that the Supreme Lord has descended in Kali Yuga in the form of the Holy Name. And that Yagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. And that those who have sufficient intelligence, Sumedha, they'll worship the Lord in this by this process. And so it becomes incumbent upon us, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that we have to make every endeavor to continue this Sankirtan, that as much as possible. Here, Alachua is famous for Friday night kirtans at University 13th Street. I remember years ago when the temple was just becoming, how can you say, populated. You know, the BTG had moved here. Nagaraj had come at that time, and Jayadvaita Maharaj, and Archita Prabhu, and so many other nice devotees. And so it became very easy with a few devotees to go out every Friday night and do nice kirtan on the corner and wave to everyone. And that was, I'm sure that the Lord was pleased, because we can see that by the result, that somehow or other, Alachua, which was not a very large situation back in those days, became very, very much a focus of many, many devotees coming from all over to attend the schools or to go join like Sadaputa with the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And they, it was many, many, how can you say, the Lord has come in many different ways, in the form of his holy name, but also by the mercy of his devotees. This is no less an incarnation, right? When you have so many sincere souls who come together to chant, then Krishna automatically reciprocates, whether it's by some his particular incarnation or just by the mood that he allows to take place by the sincere devotees who make the endeavor to please him. So we see that there's such gorgeous deity worship going on. We can understand how much the devotees have take care to manifest this attachment to the Lord in a practical way, so that not only do they benefit, but anyone who has darshan benefits. And this is the same, we expect, we see that this, the same thing happens when people are in the Harinam. People come to the temple all the time and say, yes, I received a book on Harinam, I received a mantra card, I got a cookie. And so this process is ongoing, 60 years later. So this is the 60th anniversary. We just held 1 week of observation of the 60th at 22nd Avenue. And then that culminates at the end of this month with a big gala, which is more forward-looking. It's for the New York City itself is sending so many representatives acknowledge Srila Prabhupada's contribution. They've all experienced the 50th anniversary of the Rath Yatra, which was a wild success thanks to Jiva Goswami and Stiti Dumani, who brought up Prabhupada's original cart, you know, that he rode on in 76, Lady Subhadra's cart. And that certainly transformed the entire event into something grand. More people came this year, it seems, than many other years. And so this combined effect of the devotees with carrying this mood of worship with them wherever they go. So we have that analogy, Prabhupada said, they're literally their places of pilgrimage. And so Fifth Avenue becomes transformed into Jagannath Puri. Of course, don't tell that to the Gajapati. He was not very happy that we had the Rath Yatra down Fifth Avenue. As a matter of fact, he wrote us a very heavy letter. He said that we're all, deviants by not observing it on the proper day with the proper, you know. So this is, but we're just following in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps. Just like the gopis, they weren't concerned. When Krishna complained that he had some headache and that the only solution, the only cure was the dust from the lotus feet of his devotees, no one else would come forward. But the gopis said, we don't care if we go to hell, if we can serve Krishna in any capacity. And so this is our position. Is that some things may not appear to those who are strictly following some tradition, but this, what Prabhupada has done supersedes practically every so-called tradition that we've seen, including, you know, young men and women taking second initiation, worshiping the deities, doing things that cannot be, that still they don't allow in India. So these are, so somehow or other, you know, the incarnation of the Lord has come in such a way to pritranaya sadhanam vinachachatushkatam, to deliver the fallen souls of Kali Yuga through the mercy, through the distribution of his holy name and prasadam. And this, and we're so fortunate to be able to take part. And these young people who are coming, they see that there's something there beyond some superficial tradition and ritual. And they appreciate the depth of the philosophy. And this is something that we feel is absolutely necessary, that they, at an early introduction, they don't just, yes, kirtans are ecstatic. Jumping and dancing kirtan is certainly good for the heart. Prabhupada said, even if you don't feel like dancing, dance and the bliss will come. So this is certainly something that, but beyond that, one has to have some depth of understanding in order to protect himself from the onslaught of Maya's various traps, which are laid out very carefully all over the material world in so many different ways and forms. And especially there's, due to a lack of conviction or a lack of philosophical appreciation, we've seen many devotees stray out of the, the mercy of the Supreme Personalities in their archer forms or in the forms of the Holy Name, and take up some alternate process out of sentiment or complacency. And so we have, especially in a community with so many senior devotees, here the opportunity to distribute the conclusion, you know, of the our surrender, what it means, how it came about, what it was for us individually at the time, how that's transformed after 30, 40, 50 plus years. These are things that that we can pass along in as much as possible in the time we have left, so that the next generation doesn't feel that we've neglected to give them everything that Prabhupada gave to us. So this is, a lot of times we'll be approached that, can you tell us, especially they always ask, how did you join? Or what was it like when you first met Srila Prabhupada? And you know, obviously many devotees have the same common experience, how meeting Prabhupada was, you know, to get that glimpse of someone who is living the pure life, who represented a tradition of transcendence, you know, beyond the what we normally consider to be someone of a scholastic or academic situation. So they're keen to hear, and they had in Second Avenue, they were having these classes every evening for 2-3 hours. Devotees were coming to hear from all of the assembled devotees who were there. Even the devotees, Adi Dev, Vaman Dev, came up from here. But then there was Yogeshwar, and there was Pancharatna, all the devotees who were there in the early days in New York. And so we had, so many people had an opportunity, and the questions were all very nice and very well received, because they're looking now that after 60 years, even the people who, today, this year, the police were especially, we don't try to interact too much. It doesn't really, they do their service, we do ours. But this year, they went out of their way to tell us how much they appreciated, you know, that, you know, the 50th anniversary. They were, you know, some of them, none of them were there that we met, but the fact that it was going on and that it was the same peaceful procession as it was 50 years ago, they even went up on our stage, you know, which they usually don't do, and it thanked the devotees for, you know, conducting this, that it's an example that, you know, they wished more parades would be like this, so easy to manage. And we're on Fifth Avenue. It's not like a side street, you know, so this is, and they do everything they can. And so they were very pleased. So this is the fruit of Prabhupada's preaching, is that, you know, he's giving us an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness in many different ways. And one way is also just to present a good example, and that the devotees are conscious how to conduct themselves in a situation in public with you know, other members of the public and with the authorities. So this is interesting. We also, and Alatra, you see, we have a very good relationship with the community. It wasn't always like that, but by the devotees who have, you know, stayed here and done the service and integrated, you know, everyone is impressed by the caliber of the devotees. I've never met anyone who had anything contrary to say, you know, after being here. And so, I mean, I wasn't here in the early days, but from 1990, there were some challenges, but Krishna made everything work, again, just due to the sincerity of the devotees who were serving their lordship, Sri Sri Gaurinathaya at the time. Very merciful. And so we have them to thank for the expansion, because obviously they're the ones who take great pleasure. Bhaja Bhaja Bhai, Chaitanya Nitai, Sujata Vishvashakura, they're the ones, those two brothers, that somehow or other were able to expand this project, so that it's the largest project outside of India. Is there any other project larger than this outside India yet? No one's taken that claim yet? No? Prime Gopa? Nobody? He? No? We're still. Huh? You have the title. We should put it on the... So this is the glories of Gaura Nathai have spread far and wide. So this is... And many, many devotees have gone on, just like the New York Temple. Many devotees in the New York Temple in the early days, they went on to open up, you know, the whole of the world. That's another thing that's being acknowledged for this 60th anniversary. All those devotees, they went and opened up farms and centers in America, in Europe, in everywhere. So everything had its, and not the name, the subtitle of the festival is Origins. So that, because everything has a beginning. Krishna is the cause of all causes. And when Prabhupada came, New York became the cause of all causes for ISKCON. You know, when it was incorporated there in July of 1966, you know, it's hard to say of any of the signers at that time, you know, including, you know, this Haridas Brahmachari, who just recently passed away in New York. He was Harvey Cohen. And, you know, some others, they had no idea what it was going to become. But, you know, this is our great fortune. And so we're reading here that the demigods were, in one sense, satisfied with the suffering. Does that mean that they were... There had to be a certain threshold that the living entity had to endure before the demigods would take notice? I mean, I'm not still clear on this particular note here. Because the demigods seem to have a high level of tolerance for our suffering for some reason. I don't know how that works. You know, the Vaishnavas, so does that mean that they're not Vaishnavas? Because Vaishnavas have they're Paraduka Duki. They're completely the opposite way. Yeah, so what's wrong with these demigods? What's up? But everything will come out at some point, you know. There's Lord Brahma has his own particular personality, at least in this universe. And all these other, and Lord Indra, and we read all about them, and in a relative way, not that we ever become envious or disrespectful, but at the same time, it's interesting to see that this historical record is there, and it obviously has a place in our understanding for either the relative appreciation, the fact that, you know, the Lord will appear and he will descend at a certain point, and that in that case it's when there's a rise in irreligion. So the demigods are monitoring, and then they see it. So this suffering must be concomitant to this, the proportion of irreligion. So maybe that's their threshold, that they know that, okay, at this point, then Krishna is going to come. And so they kind of let it happen, so to speak. They don't intervene. But this... and of course, there's much more to the story with Lord Kapila and this and Kardama Muni. And we would be remiss if we didn't take how Kardama Muni was also waiting for this incarnation, but for a different purpose, so that he could leave the situation. He said, I've satisfied my obligations. He said, I've given you a son no less than the incarnation of God. And now that, and he also made sure that his nine daughters were married to the Navayugendra, so that's done. He did everything he's supposed to do. He says, now I'll depart. I've fulfilled my obligations. So that's another side, not emphasized here, but we understand that this is the tradition. At a certain point, we take the opportunity to give back what the spiritual master has endowed us if we were fortunate that we can go and pay it forward, so to speak, what he has given to us. So we're happy to do so and given any opportunity. And we also have a special observation at this 60th anniversary at the end of the month. We have the anniversary of the Sunday feast. This is the 60th anniversary of the first love feast. And so a lot of devotees who were there on Second Avenue have given recipes. And one of our guard brothers who we served with on Henry Street, Vishnu Gadapuru, he'll be supervising, because the feasts on Henry Street were famous. Many devotees who joined at that time, Devamrita Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Ghanasham Maharaj, you know, Jayadvaita Maharaj. There were so many devotees there, Gopal Krishna Maharaj. So everyone remembers those Sunday feasts. And it was especially memorable for the devotees in the temple, because during the week we would eat very simply. And it was a common thing, you fast and then feast. So during the week we would eat very simply. And then on Sunday we would have the most amazing feast cooked by these cooks, including Mangalananda Peru, who's still here, I believe, someplace. And, and devotees in Sunanda, who's also, he'll be cooking for this particular Sunday feast. Agni Dev, who just passed away, was also part of the kitchen crew at that time. Even Hari Kesh Prabhu, who's in Gainesville someplace. So all the big devotees, a lot of them were kitcheneers, right? They have kirtaneers. We have kitcheneers. And you're pleasing the devotees. That there's nothing like preparing the Sunday feast and then seeing the devotees enjoy so thoroughly. And I'm sure that this is Prabhupada's mood also. We can imagine Prabhupada making all these preparations, cooking himself, serving it, and then cleaning up. Because he is Chatura Vidha, he was happy. Matter of fact, Ram Roy reminded me one time in Mangalartik. He was saying that, saying, do you know which verse is Prabhupada's favorite verse? Yeah. And he was saying that this is the fourth verse. And Prabhupada was saying, that's my favorite verse in the Gaurvastakam. So Prabhupada was very keen on that, and we're carrying on that tradition. So still to this day, I know Alachua Sunday feasts are very special also, as are New York's. And we want to continue that legacy. And that, of course, that requires that everything is prepared with love and devotion. Of course, it can't be the transcendental love feast unless everyone puts their sincerity behind it. It's not that we're cooking just out of some mundane obligation. Right? This is Dharma Ksinutapung Sam Bishvaksena Katasya Nodpadya Yadiratim Shama Eva Hikavalam. That is, we're not just cooks or pujaris, or that we've adopted something which is beyond, you know, what most people can appreciate from any traditional perspective. And we're very fortunate to have that. And it is, practically speaking, without it, how could this movement have continued for 60 years? As that these devotees are carrying that that devotion from generation to generation and passing it along and trying. And of course, this is, and we're happy to try something new if it works. Not that, it's like I remember when we first started doing, of course, Mangalananda, Change of Heart, the album. Prabhupada said, yes, you can distribute, but it shouldn't interfere with the book distribution. And so it was very popular. We distributed many of those. And these are, they were very special. Mangalananda is an expert poet, transcendental bard. And so everyone's heard that album, right? Change of Heart? Must have. From generation to generation? No? If you haven't, you should. On Henry Street, there was one room when they were reading about the Transcendental Roadshow. There's another part of the history. Vishnu John Maharaj started the, before it was Radha Damodar, it was called the Transcendental Roadshow. It wasn't Radha Damodar TSKP. Now we go to various college towns and, you know, do kirtan, mostly kirtan, not deity worship. Create a wonderful feast, preach to people. Many devotees joined from that. And they had an advanced party. Advanced party at that time was Kulaji Prabhu and Toshan Krishna Prabhu. And they would go ahead of them, set it up, and then the bus would roll in. And that was not anything special bus. It was called the Blue Bus. It was the Bluebird, old school bus painted blue. So so from very humble beginnings, you know, this traveling sankirtan was going around. And those devotees who were fortunate to have the association of these great souls, like Vishnu John Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they observed firsthand how potent the holy name was being carefully preserved and distributed in every town and village. So this is our continuing legacy. So we're in New York, we're doing Harinam on the street 6 days a week. One day back in Sunday, we do it in a Sunday feast. But we have no other metric to gauge the success of New York except by the continuous chanting of the holy name, you know, since, and that was always New York's legacy from the very beginning. Prabhupada's, the first Harinam went from 26 Second Avenue, Prabhupada walked to the west side to Washington Square Park. And those shoes that were described by Allen Ginsberg as white rubber bath shoes. So we have those shoes still in New York, and we're very happy to, they were just brought to Second Avenue to celebrate that anniversary, that special 60th anniversary, along with Radhakrishna that Prabhupada also installed on Second Avenue, and then later came to Henry Street, and now they're still worshipped on Skimmerhorn Street. So that's the original Radhakrishna of ISKCON, basically, first deities installed, 26 Second Avenue. So they took a walk, they took a ride, they actually took an Uber over to Second Avenue. They didn't walk from over the Brooklyn Bridge. They went with the shoes, with Prabhupada's shoes. That was a very nice celebration at Second Avenue. It's on YouTube if you haven't seen it. Some people have seen wonderful memories of the devotees who were there at the time. And we could see how through their efforts, the movement spread and is maintained. You know, so there are still, you can hear when they speak about Prabhupada in the early days, the fire is there, the same as it was. It hasn't diminished. And that it's continuing. And we want to make sure that the second, third, fourth generation also carries this forward. So it requires there's an some type of environment. It doesn't happen haphazardly. And we see that the best environment, we saw that Prabhupada said that the temple is essential. He was telling that to Vishnu John Maharaj, who was driving around in the bus, but he was also previously establishing various temples, in Austin, but he was also there in the early days, in Los Angeles and elsewhere. He was saying, Prabhupada was telling him that deity worship is essential because in order to be trained how to be brahminical, to be clean, said in the West, he says, it's not their tradition to be clean. Prabhupada personally observed. When we're reading in Lilamrita, there's that one chapter called Breaking Ground. And in the beginning, Prabhupada had a couple of these people, they weren't devotees, living in Second Avenue. They're just essentially bums, hippies, that Prabhupada let stay there. And he just thought, okay, he didn't see that they were doing any harm, but he did note that they never took bath, they never washed, they wore the same clothes day in, day out, but they slept in the storefront. So Prabhupada observed gradually he established, our standards. And the devotees were reminiscing at Second Avenue how on Henry Street, when we had so many devotees, we only had, basically two bathrooms. But you had to, you took essentially the temple president, who was a very sweet devotee named Gopi Janlabalaba. He was almost like an orchestra conductor. He would stand, he would get up early, take a shower, and then he would just stand there and say, he would say, okay, Peruse, 10 seconds, 10 seconds. And he would say this for half an hour, and every devotee would just walk in the shower, literally 10 seconds, and then walk out. And another devotee would walk in right behind him. So it was an assembly line to get all these devotees to Mangal Arati by 4:30. So that if anyone ever tells you that they didn't believe it, yes, 10-second showers, 10-second cold showers, absolutely cold water. There was no hot water. Hot water once a week on Sunday, like the Sunday feast. Nobody thought it was anything. They just thought that was the way it was. You became a monk, and you took a cold shower every single day, except on Sunday. And that was, of course, to save money. They had, and the temple president, when I joined, Bali Madan was on his way out. Now he's on his way back in. So he was on his way out, and now he's on his way back in. And then Rupanuga Prabhu was also, and he was the interim after Bali left. And then Gopi Janlabalaba took over. So lots of history. They're going to be writing a book. I think it's written. Satyaraj did a good compilation. And they were hoping to have it out in time for the 60th, but it's quite voluminous, and it required significant editing. But it is coming, and so everyone will get an opportunity to read the history of New York Temple from the very beginning up to, we had to stop someplace, so we stopped at the Skimmerhorn Street Temple. We don't know what's coming after, but that's where it is right now. But we're trying to, so we're supposed to stop and take questions, Pran Govinda, is that there? Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. I have a question. Which 60th anniversary ends with which Sunday?
This end of this month. It's a weekend gala, big festival. There's plenty of links all over the internet. Anyone wants to join, they can come up and stay. If you're a brahmachari, brahmacharini, you can sleep on the floor, just like the old days. You can relive the old days. We'll give you a yoga mat. We didn't even have yoga mats. We had nothing. We used to just sleep on the floor. Some people had chatai. Anybody know what chatai is? You've lived in India, you have a chatai. Just that straw mat. But if that was only if you were lucky. Most people, you just had your sleeping bag and you're sleeping on a nice, hard floor. But everybody did it, so nobody thought there was no upper or lower echelon. Everybody had the same austerity. Pundarik Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Achyutananda told me that there was at least some occasion when Srila Prabhupada was standing in line for the shower also.
In his flat, in Second Avenue, in the back building, there was no ashram, but two devotees, Bhakti John and another devotee, Alankar, they lived not too far, so their people were staying in their apartment. And so they would also shower there, but then there were those who would shower at Prabhupada's apartment. And even use his towel, he had to complain to someone that they're using my towel. So no consideration.
I have a philosophical question on the purport. Is that right? Srila Prabhupada said that he pointed out that in the verse it says that the living entities are suffering distress because of their own activities, past misdeeds. But then in the purport he talks about how the forest fires start automatically. So it seems almost contradictory that sometimes we're suffering in this material world. Is that from automatic, just the modes of nature just automatically giving us suffering, or is it our past misdeeds? Or it seems almost contradictory.
We see that there is, let's just carefully look at it briefly. The sufferings are not extraneously imposed upon them. Rather, the conditioned souls create their own suffering by their own facts. And then, yes, the forest fire. So he's saying that the forest fire is all. So Prabhupada, in that seventh canto, Prabhupada's given that analogy many times, that no one wants suffering, but suffering comes of its own accord. And similarly, distress comes of its own accord. But it's all based on our past pious or impious activities. So it may appear spontaneous like a forest fire, but there's a root cause. I mean, we understand that sinful desire seed, that papa bij, unless one is completely cured, yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvanda mohamir muktam bhajante mam jridavrataha. So he has to be determined that these sinful activities, and that other verse there are, free from the previous material activities and mental speculation, which is also a cause of this continued distress. And for devotees, Prabhupada uses the analogy of the electric fan. I wonder what analogy they used before the electric fan. But the electric fan, you stop the power and the fan winds down. And so devotees are still, they experience some token karma. And everyone has it. You're doing some work and you get a cut. And when it was observed and Prabhupada had an opportunity to come, and he said, yes, your head should have been cut off. But instead you got something simple like that. Now let's knock on wood and everything else that where, as long as we're trying to follow sincerely, that Krishna is protecting. Yayatama prapadyante. Otherwise, so if it's coming of its own accord, and that a lot of devotees have difficulty to practically realize that, but that is the essence of your continuing engagement, is that you have to have that faith that Krishna is providing, that Ananyas Tintyanto Mam, that whatever is going to happen, he's providing, he's preserving. Whatever is lacking, he's giving. But how do you experience that practically if you don't take the step of surrender? You have to be willing to say, okay, I'm just going to do what the spiritual master asked. I'm going to do this service. you know, without consideration for profit distinction or adoration, without nādanam, nājanam, without any consideration for remuneration or exchange. Like Prahlad Maharaj said, what's that word? Only those who are living in India know that word, baniya. You know, so Prahlad Maharaj expressed to Nisringadev that I'm not banik. I'm not in that caste. This is not a business exchange that I serve you and you serve me. He says, he could understand that this is something beyond that. And therefore, he wasn't expecting anything. So that has to be our position also. If we're expecting something, then how can we get the real mercy? We have to take that step of surrender. And then working from that position, Krishna allows us to continue to experience that mercy. And I'm sure that many people here have had that experience, that I don't deserve anything, but Krishna has given me so much opportunity. So, and sometimes it's not always apparent what that opportunity is. Sometimes it's like, all right, there's no one in the kitchen to wash the pots after the Sunday feast. Let me surrender. What's the loss? What's the diminution? These are Krishna's pots. This is what we all cut our devotional teeth on in the old days. Everybody washed pots. There was no exception. I can remember standing next to people who became gurus. They were washing pots, you know, in Henry Street. So there's no. Matter of fact, we still have one pot left from 2nd Avenue, all the way from 2nd Avenue, the original pot. Yeah, it's the Adi pot. It was used for the Abhishek, for all the deities on 2nd Avenue when they installed Radhakrishna, when they installed Jagannath. And we used it in Henry Street also for Abhishek all the time. Big brass pot. And we still have it, still inscribed. Radha Govinda. So some things are still there. And when you see them, they evoke the memory that I've washed this pot many times. And it was one of those things. Surrender, everyone has a different level. For some people, surrender comes very easily. For others, it's an acquired experience. You have to practice. There's nothing wrong with it. The point is to get to that stage where surrender comes easily. Oh, this has to be done? Okay, no problem. You know, so there's one last anecdote with regards to the Henry Street kitchen. The cooks there were very expert. And in the pot, we had a separate room for washing the pots. It wasn't in the kitchen because we were not Brahmins. We were just, you know, either bhaktas or first initiated. And then we would wash the pots and the cooks would come and take them. And then they would finish you off and they would come and bring us back the same pots we just washed. So you're washing the same pots continuously. And that's okay. This is Krishna's mercy. And we saw it as that. We actually felt the connection, you know, with Radha Govinda, you know, somehow or other. It was very tangible that this is direct service to the Lord. Everyone had that mood that anything being done in the temple, it didn't matter how insignificant it appeared, you know, mopping the floor, wiping the floor. This is how we learn to appreciate that the transcendental nature of service and allowed us to carry it on to, let's see what the conclusion is. But let us never lose this opportunity to have, Krishna be so kind and merciful as to benedict us with some service. So I know it must be getting late. Somebody's going to start chanting Mahaprasadam Govinday. People are going to be lining up for prasadam. Thanks to Sitaji Muni, we had an amazing Rath Yatra.
Is sleeping two nights in the front seat of your car at the Rath site,
that's surrender,
in Manhattan, is that as auspicious or nearly or comparable to one night on the floor at Second Avenue?
That car is forever blessed. And that was on 38th Street, right? So we because the car is so complex, it's not a simple car. It's not like these new pop-ups. You roll it out of the, you know, trailer. Abhay Charanand brings them from Toronto or wherever, Montreal, and they set them up in a couple of hours. It takes days to build the original carts, not weeks technically, but they were able to get it done in 2 days, 48 hours. Which is all the city gave us on that street. So all glories to the Rath Yatra devotees.
Jayananda, all glories to Jayananda Rath Yatra devotees.
Jai.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Hansarupa Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Ananta Koti Vaishnabrinda ki, Sri Sri Gaurnitai ki. Hare Krishna, Mother Rasalila.